This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope, East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Transformation, was delivered on February 27th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Got my blood pumping. Feel like I'm on fire now. Woo! Well, hey, imagine next week we'll be here 14 years. Wow. And I just want to say, man, those of you out there on Facebook, come join us. I mean, even if it's just for that 1 week, because, you know, you like it at home, but just come visit us for that 1 week, check us out, and then you can see how it is. If you feel safe, you can come back. If not, you can watch from home again if you like. But hey, Grant, happy upcoming anniversary. Well, it's hard to say if it's his anniversary because he was married on February 29th. And we talk about that was pretty much one of the coolest weddings I did. On the beach at Pauiki in surf shorts and slippers. And it was in the morning by the lifeguard stand, the far one, standing on the black sand beach where was once water, where they met. And because of the lava flow, now we could stand where they met in the water on sand. And so that's pretty cool. But thank you for letting me do that. It was so make sure, even if we don't have a 29th day this month, better do something.
We added days, the 20 and the first makes 29.
Okay, yay! Oh, smart. Anybody else married on leap day? Okay, well, only you got creative, but man, that's cool. And for those of you here, you know, every week we kind of crank Jason. Jason is part of our church. His brother plays on the worship team. His parents are back there. And he went back to Iowa to work. And poor bugger is freezing up there. So we always, like, check on him, make sure he's okay. He just checked in. He gave us a shaka sign. He said he's watching. Mom and Dad, he's watching, so he's being accountable. I hope it's not too cold up there. I didn't check in with the temperature yet, but we're praying that one day you get to come back here home and find a job here that you can stay warm all year round. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Pastor Steve, for the message last week. Thank you, Walt, for the message from the week before. I took a couple weeks off. We celebrated our 31st anniversary. Yeah. Poor thing, yeah, my wife had to be married to me for 31 years. Yeah. But, you know, we got baptism today. It's great. It's 44? Oh, my gosh. Right, anything below 60 is cold for me. Yeah. So, you know, we're talking about transformation today. And, you know, as Christians, if you've been a Christian for a long time, I know, Christian, you've been a Christian all your life because your name is Christian. So you cool, you saved. Right? Good choice of words, Mom. You know, the Christian life, you know, sometimes I think of the Christian life and I compare it to like a salmon swimming upstream. But crack after crack after crack, and just when you think you finish crack, you gotta jump up on waterfall. And it's like, oh, it can look like you try, you fail, try again, fail again, try again, fail again. And sometimes like, oh, I give up already. And you think like, why does this have to happen? And a lot of times we can think of why things happen. And sometimes we look and, you know, this can happen because sometimes we, you know, like for when I fell away for a season, I came to church. I enjoyed the company. I enjoyed being around good, decent people. But I never really jumped in, all in, fully committed, 100%. Not like halfway on the fence, like, oh, I like the church group. But sometimes, you know, we're still hanging on to some of the stuff in the back, in the past. And we have not decided yet to be all in. We want the benefits. We want the abundant life. We want the peace. We want the faith. We want the confidence, the boldness. We want the joy. We want the blessings. We want all the benefits, but not the work. Yeah? How many of you like having benefits? How many of you like having benefits but not the work? Yeah, I like the benefits of being healthy, but not the work. I like cookies. Really, I really like cookies. Salads, you can have the salads. Seriously. I like the health benefits, but I don't like to put in the work. Because I like my spam. Yeah? And, you know, we want all these things, the abundance, the peace, the faith, the blessings, the confidence. But we're going to have to intentionally put in some effort. You know, I believe that transformation is not painless and is not quick. But indeed, it can be painful and it can take some time. What you see before you today took some 58 and a half years of work. And it was, I can tell you, at times when I was disobedient, it was painful. And there was a lot of suffering. There were some moments of short-lived happiness, and there were some moments of long-lasting joy. Lots of tears, bad words, bad thoughts, bad habits. But all of those things God used to transform my life into what you see and hear today. So, if you like what you see, that's good. If you don't like what you see, God's not finished with me yet. So, maybe by some miracle, maybe, and some big miracle, maybe I got 3 inches somewhere in the next 20 years if I live that long. But maybe not. But I got to learn to be content with what he is. But inside, God is still working on me. He's not finished. Sometimes we struggle and we want transformation to happen quickly. Like that, snap of a finger and poof. But that is not how it works. Philippians 1:6, Paul writes, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he, capital he means God, who began a good work in you when you were born, will perfect it, will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, until the day he comes back. He'll be working on this. Like the song, The Potter and the Clay, I don't think we're going to be finished and put in the kiln and fired and become complete until he comes back. When we get discouraged, we got to remember that, hey, God is not finished with me. And he may use this discouragement to help refine us. He promises to finish the work he has begun. What he started in you, he will finish. I need that. How many of you get projects around the house that you started, but you never finish? How many of you men? Yeah. How many of you women started sewing something, but, oh, yeah. Yes, I got projects at my house that I started, never finish. In Ephesians 2:10, again, Paul writes, "For we are, you and I, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so we would walk in them." We are God's masterpiece in process. Just like me, just like you, we just gotta step out of the way. Yeah? And let God work. How many of you get in the way? I get in the way all the time. I need to step out of the way and say, you know what, God? Oh, I give up doing this thing on my own. Just mold me and shape me. Can you imagine, though, the pain? You ever tried? Imagine if a piece of clay can have feelings when you smash them and you crush them and you make it pliable just so you can shape it. If that had feelings, it would probably be hurt. We are God's masterpiece. We just need to let him do his thing. Amen? So here it is. Number one, transformation. It's a process. It is a process. And it's a process from the time we were born to the time we die. Kind of long, yeah? But you know what? I think if you let God do his things, it gets better and better as you get older, as you mature, as you kind of give up stuff to let God take control. It gets better, it gets easier. In Galatians 1:15-17, but when God, who had set me apart, now we're talking about Saul, remember Saul, not King Saul, but Saul who became Paul and who wrote most of the New Testament. But when God had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. So if you don't know the story of Saul, he was going to Damascus to persecute us Christians. He got letters to put us in jail and, you know, to punish us. And God shown him, knocked him off his horse, and revealed himself, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then he said, is it you, Lord? With a question mark. So he's here telling about his conversion, his transformation, to show his message that it came directly from God. God commissioned him to preach the good news to the Gentiles. But he didn't immediately go. He went away for 3 years to Arabia to let the process begin. So I think in the sense, he realized that he was on the wrong side. And when God revealed the truth to him, he said, whoa, I need to go someplace and let God work on me. So I think he went away so that he could get out of the way so that God could work on him. And then after that 3 years, then he spoke with Peter and James, but he still didn't have too much contact with the Jewish Christians for several more years. So we call this, you know, when you go away, marinating. You know, like, how many of you ever been in jail? Yeah, you go away in jail. We call that marinating. You know when you marinate meat long time? Tastes better, yeah? So sometimes, like in jail, you cannot do nothing but marinate and listen to God. So he went away to marinate so he could come back better. Part of the process. There are no shortcuts to deep, lasting transformation. I mean, we like to make shortcuts. We like to snap our fingers and say, oh, yeah, I'm a new person. I changed. You know, when we say we change, we never change. When we don't have to say we change and let our actions be seen, then we're okay. You know, from 1999, late 99 to 2003, when I was beginning my brand new transformation, those were some really tough, exciting years. God was working on me. I went to every single Bible study that I could go to, and I was learning and growing, and you know, started doing small groups. The church that I was I was going to church for 3 years up at New Hope Hilo, and they asked me to come on staff, which is like, I don't want to work there. I love just volunteering. And it was very challenging. Started doing small groups, and I got to tell you, I'm so glad that Walt is stepping up and starting small groups, because I tell you what, if we can get every one of you into a small group, that's where real growth happens, in a small, intimate setting with five or six of you. Of course, the small group that I had actually one time grew into 50 people and then turned into this church. It's like, I did not expect it. I did not ask for it. It just happened. Cannot stop God from doing what he's going to do. Right? So, transformation, it's a process. You cannot expect it to happen overnight, and you just got to stay out of the way and let God, you got to just say, God, here I am, do your stuff in me. Transformation requires passion. You got to have passion. And sometimes we got to ask some really difficult questions. Do I really want to change? Do I really want to be Christ-like? Do I really want to be forgiving? The guy who cut you off, really? Do I really want to forgive him? The guy who scratched my car? The diver who went fishing in front of my fishing pole? Shine the light nighttime? Oh. Instead of being forgiven, we put on the heavier lead and we said, ready, aim, fire! Do I really want to be Christ-like, full of grace and compassion? Oh, that's tough. Do you? Do you want to forgive that person who talked trash about you behind your back? You know, we got to be passionate about it. Do we really want to be Christ-like? In Ephesians 4:22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Oh, yes, I remember that. Been there, done that. To be made new in the attitude of your mind. To put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You and I, we got to let go of the past. Put it behind us. Set our minds on different things, godly things, transforming by the renewing of our mind. In Acts 2:42, this is like the beginning of the church and the people who were there. There were just amazing transformation begin to happen. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostle teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place to the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord was adding to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. This story in Acts is like, wow, a powerful, powerful testimony of a community committed to Christ. I mean, so committed that they started selling their stuff. They started selling their fishing poles, their coolers, their power tools. No! So that they could share. I'm sorry, but if I sold my power tools, I would not be able to make your kitchens. So, God may not be asking you to sell your possessions, but he's asking for your commitment. Maybe you'd say, oh, I better sell my stuff then. But he's asking for your commitment. In Acts 19:19, this is later on. And many of those who practiced magic brought their books and began burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So the city of Ephesus, where they're talking about, was a city like centered with the occult practices. I am going to make us conjure up a spell to make me rich. I am going to conjure up a spell to make Christy fall in love with me. I am going to conjure up a spell to make me 6 foot tall and sing and, you know, rock hard abs. And so this is what it was. They were doing that to conjure up spells to make them wealthy and happiness and successful. And then when they found Jesus, whoa, what happened? They started burning their books. 50,000 pieces of silver worth of books. These scriptures show the passion, the desire the people had for a changed life. They probably seen what was happening to all those who were in Jesus' circle, who were close to Jesus, like, man, I need that. I want that. Number three, transformation comes from intimacy with God. And intimacy could mean a close personal relationship. John 15:15, and that's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And if you never read it, it is so cool. It says, no longer do I call you slaves. This is Jesus speaking. For the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. No secrets. In Psalm 73:28, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I've made the Lord my God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Close personal relationship. Spiritual change, transformation, comes and flows out of that close personal relationship with Jesus. You know, when you love someone, we get sad when we offend them. The more we love Jesus, the greater our motivation will be to obey him and to make choices that please him. You know, like I said, in the last 2 or 3 months, I've been really monitoring my sugar, which is a pain in the finger. It really is, you know. I was like, okay, which finger I'm going to stab this morning? Eeny, meeny, miny, oh, it's this one, okay. And it makes me kind of want to take care of myself, because my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I still have to get adjusted to eating that green leafy stuff. And I really want to obey God. Yesterday, I didn't have any donuts. I had one this morning, though. But I didn't have one yesterday. And that was like, that was pretty good. And I'm just trying to please God with my actions. And if that means taking care of this body, then I try to do it. You know, we try to please those who we love, which if we love Jesus, we will try listen to him. The process of transformation takes place when we are moved from our love and worship of ourselves to our love and worship of God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So number four, trying to get through these points. Transformation needs discipline. How many of you hate that D word? How many of you discipline to get up every morning and exercise? Nobody. No, really? Well, we all in the same boat. You in the right church? Wow. One morning when you come to church, we're going to call Ash, and we're going to move all the chairs, and we're going to have them do Zumba for us. Discipline, that's a, like, it's almost as a bad word as exercise and salad. I remember going to college. Yes, I actually went to college. I would go to college early in the morning, park right there in the front, get on good parking because I was lazy to walk, get a good parking. I would fall asleep in my car. I would wake up, realize I missed my classes, walk to the lunch wagon, eat lunch, and go home. No discipline, no transformation. I never went to class, and it just didn't work because I didn't have discipline to go to class, to study, and to let my mind be transformed in math and economics and history and all those things. It's sad because I probably would have gotten a lot out of it. And if you don't think God has a sense of humor, now he has me studying every week. And I have to be disciplined to study. Because if I came up here with nothing to say, I would look pretty stupid. And if I would come up here and try to shoot from the hips, you would see right through me. So he has me reading. He has me writing. Look, he has me building cabinets, which requires math. And when I gotta divide a piece of wood into three sections, you know how long it takes me to measure and move just so I can get it even? Because I didn't study math? God is up there and looking down and, you see? Yeah. You never like study? Then I make you study? No. So it takes discipline. Look at Daniel, Daniel 6:10. Now Daniel knew that a document was signed. He entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem. So you know that they had to bow and face towards Jerusalem to pray. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had repeatedly, as he had done doing repeat previously. So a decree was signed that you cannot bow down to anybody else but that statue that Nebuchadnezzar had made. A decree was signed. And his window was open so they could see him bowing down to pray to his God. Even if he was faced with death, he continued. He had a disciplined prayer life. He prayed three times a day as he always did. He had that discipline. How many of us, you know, when it's time to read our Bible, when it's time to pray, oh, man, I am late. If I pray, even if it only takes 30 seconds or a minute, I'm not going to have time to make my coffee. And then when I go out the door, I know I'm going to be stuck behind that bus because the bus comes at a certain time. So we're not disciplined. How many of you, like, not disciplined, like, oh, man, the alarm, snooze. Alarm, snooze. Alarm, snooze. Oh, shoot, I better go. Whew, out the door. No discipline to read your Bible or to pray. We get interrupted. Not by threats, but the pressure of our schedule. Because we're not disciplined, we let all these things cut into our time with God and our time in prayer. So when it comes to God, transformation, we need to get some discipline. You know what else is good? Accountability. Calling you up here to share your devotions. I bet you you would read all week to find something. Right? How many of you agree? Raise your hand, I'll call on you next week. Woo, the hands went down fast. Transformation comes through the Holy Spirit. You know, every day, every week, I ask Holy Spirit, man, guide me, lead me, change me, cleanse me. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and work for his good pleasure. So here is what the study notes say from the Bible. Work hard to show the results of your salvation in light of the preceding exhortation to unity. May mean that the entire church was to work together to rid themselves of divisions and discord. The Philippian Christians needed to be especially careful to obey Christ now that Paul wasn't there to continually remind them about what is right. You see, I'm not going to be there every morning when you get up to tell you, hey, you better pray. You better bless the food. You better read your Bible. If I was, you'd probably be like, get out of here. You're irritating me. You and I, we got to be careful of how we live, especially when, you know, you're at home by yourself in the absence of the leaders, in the absence of anybody who would keep you accountable. You got to focus your attention and devotion even more so on Christ so that you don't get sidetracked. What do you do when you don't feel like getting up and obeying and reading? Because sometimes, how many of you have a hard time getting up in the morning? A couple honest people, yeah? Yeah, sometimes, you know, I wasn't a morning person because almost every morning I had a hangover. No way. You know what it is? I think if you're a fisherman, you learn to get up early because that's when the fish bites, I think. And, you know, my life transformed. Now, instead of getting up at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, or sometimes I actually got up at 4 o'clock in the evening. Now, I pop out of bed like this the last 2 days. Isn't it sad when you get up few minutes before your alarm? You feel cheated of sleep, even if it's 2 minutes. God changed me. Now, I get up, I pop out of bed 4:30 almost every day. Yesterday was 4 o'clock because of men's ministry, but I got up before my alarm. The Holy Spirit is changing me. When we don't feel like obeying, I say, well, what is the consequence of disobedience? Pain. Ouch. Or you might miss an opportunity. You know, when you don't feel like obeying God, just remember, God has never left you alone in your struggles. He is there to help you do his will. He comes alongside you to help us. And if you ask God sincerely, wake me up. Give me the desire and the power to do what pleases you. You think he'll tell you no way? He's not human. He's not me. He's God. I'm sure he'll tell you, you got it, but when I wake you up tomorrow morning, don't press snooze. Transformation is initiated and enabled, I believe, by the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. As we receive him, when we receive Christ, we just got to persevere and in humility and by faith be obedient. Amen. And number six, the last one, transformation is a promise from God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Transformation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Old stuff, the old things, is slowly being weeded out. And believe me, when I tell you he's still working on me, trust me, if you was my passenger, you would see that, whoa, God, you got a lot of work on that guy. You got your work cut out for you. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and being transformed become the image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. See, the good news is, as we see the truth about Christ, and as we grow closer and as we do these things, it'll transform us little by little, bit by bit, glory to glory, from good to better to better to better, and keep going. And when we understand these things and we apply it to the learning about Jesus Christ, we get to understand how wonderful God is. He's not like a God who is holding up a magnifying glass and burning ants. He's not that type of God. He loves us. We can understand how good he is as you and I, we deepen our knowledge, and the Holy Spirit helps us to change. And you and I, we can be like a walking testimony to what God is doing in our lives. Amen? And I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Oh my gosh, I talked so long. Sorry. Hey, I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I'm going to ask any of you. I mean, the start of transformation basically is asking Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. So we ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. We get baptized, proclaiming that to the world that we have accepted Christ. It's a public declaration of our faith. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And if anybody needs to ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, I want to ask you, pray with me this prayer. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if anybody prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? All right. Thank you, Lord. We pray for the day that your people who are called to get baptized, that nothing would hinder them from coming down to the water to publicly declare their faith in you. Thank you for the sun that is shining. We pray that you will provide parking and space, yes, and a beautiful time as family as we baptize your people. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you give the air? Thank you, Lord. Would you stand and join us as we sing?
Thank you, Pastor Scott. Okay, well, let's take it out running for the Lord. Then we can sweat and then go down the beach and cool off, yeah?
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeasthawaii.com.